repulsed by that. And so he threw that out of his cell. Now later in the day, another prisoner challenged him. And he initially felt this swelling of anger come into his life because he was very violent. He would normally have attacked a person who would have challenged him. But then he heard this inner voice saying, "You are not that man anymore." And he felt all the anger just disappear. And he turned and walked away. He said he would have been bashed by that guy had not one of his still violent friends interceded on his behalf. But he had found a very dramatic change in his life. Now, not everyone finds such an instant or dramatic change in their lives. But I promise you this, whoever comes to God will find transformation in their lives. And it may be a slower process. For many of us, it is simply a slower process of God coming into our hearts to change us. The wonderful truth is this: God loves you as you are. God loves you as you are. There may be some days when you do not love yourself. And you wonder, how could God really love me? But the truth of the Bible tells us this over and over again. God loves us and God loves you as you are. But he will not leave you that way. He will work in your heart to change and transform you, to help you to be the best person that you can be, to help you become more and more like Jesus. Paul says we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. And one of the aims in the Christian life is that we be changed to become more like Jesus. Before we look at this a bit more closely, I want to step back for a moment and just think about the gospel story. A few weeks ago, I went into our church meeting room and I saw this drawing on a whiteboard. And it looked to me that someone had been drawing out the gospel pictures to try and convey something of the gospel message. And I just became so delighted when I found the person who had done this was Nozomi. And she is not quite 7 years old. And yet, she was able to draw the gospel picture out. And this was just so wonderful to be able to see. I asked her to pose like that so that you could see who it was that was doing these drawings. And so she told the gospel story. Now, you can see there on the hill the shepherds with their sheep, and above them are the angels. Sometimes in her drawing the angels look a bit like bumblebees, but there were the angels telling the shepherds, and the shepherds would come and share the good news. And then over to one side you can see the wise men, and they have their camel, and so they're going to see the Savior who was born. And this is just a wonderful truth that God sent his Son into our world to come among us and to save us. And then she had the picture of Mary and Joseph, and they're kneeling by the manger, and there's the baby Jesus in the middle of the picture in the manger. And then, does that work? Yeah. To one side there, I initially thought that was a cow, but someone has told me it might be an elephant. So, but you get the picture that the wise men were coming to Joseph and Mary to see the baby Jesus and to share with him their gifts. And this is just so wonderful that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And the wonderful truth that means for me is that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. And similarly for you, He didn't come to condemn you, but to save you and show you the way into God's kingdom. And so the pictures go on. Now we move on to the cross. And recently we've had Easter and all of that celebration that Jesus would come and die for us. And one of the things that Jesus said just before he died, when talking to his disciples and knowing that he was going to die, he said to them, "Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." And this is what Jesus did for his friends, not only for those that he knew in the circle around him, but those in the country, in the nation, around the world, and through all time. Someone has said it was not nails that held Jesus to the cross, it was love. God's love for us. Jesus' love for us. Jesus taking our place and wrongdoing and suffering on himself. And then we see Jesus buried and the stone on one side and Jesus in the tomb on the other side. And then Nozomi drew the risen Lord, appearing and speaking to the people. Those stick figures to me look quite surprised and joyous that there Jesus has appeared to them. The Apostle Paul said something that's a little complicated about this. He said the power is like the working of his mighty strength. That's God's strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that power that was used to raise Christ from the dead is the power that is involved in helping Christians to change and to come close to him. And Nozomi's last picture was of our world and people circled around it. And to me, that was a picture of disciples taking the good news out into all of the world for every nation. Nozomi blessed us, and all who saw her drawing, these wonderful drawings, were reminded of God's love for people of all ages, young and old. It delighted me particularly when I realized it was such a young child who had drawn it and so many of the features of Jesus' life. And our kids' own teachers have helped her and other children to learn this story about Jesus so that they're able to communicate it, maybe through drawing or through poetry or in something that they might do or say. Even a child can understand this wonderful story of Jesus' love for us, of his life and his death. Men and women, young and old, all can come and know the story. So simple, a child can express it so deep that adults study it for years and years, growing in more and more depth and understanding of it. Again, Paul wrote, "We are being changed from one degree of glory to another." So Paul, then speaking to Christians, picked up on this idea. And again, this is just a little complicated if you don't know the story, but there was a time in the Old Testament when Moses and the people of Israel had come to the mountain to meet God, and Moses would go up the mountain and speak with God, and when he had spoken with God, his face would begin to glow with this glory, and he would come down and speak to the people at the foot of the mountain. But when he moved away from being with God, the glory would begin to fade. And so Moses put a veil over his face so that the people could not see this glory disappear. And so Paul used this idea that people often have a veil that keeps them from seeing the glory of God. But what he was saying is in Jesus that veil is removed. And the glory on those who will walk with Jesus grows and grows and grows and keeps on increasing as God does this wonderful work in our hearts and in our lives. God's power at work in us. The Apostle Peter wrote about this in more practical terms. When Peter wrote, he said Jesus' divine power is at work in us, giving us everything we need for a life of godliness, to know him. And then he adds, he's given us this so we can participate in the divine nature, so that we can begin to know what it is to become more godly in the way that we live. And then he said, For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And these are things that we need in our lives. These are things that will enrich us in our community and the way in which we live. They will enrich us in our families if we have these attributes in our lives. And this is what God wants to see growing within us. So our spiritual lives, our walk with God, are never simply something that happens to us inwardly, although it does happen inwardly. It must also work its way out into the way that we live. And so all of these are good things that God wants to see in our hearts and in our lives. The wonderful attributes to aspire to and to make an effort to develop. Transformation is possible. Maybe you didn't think it was possible for you in your life, but transformation is possible. You can change, not because of some outward force or some great effort of your own, but because God will come and begin to work that change inwardly. The spiritual dimension, that we change from glory into glory to become more and more like Jesus. And maybe today is the day that you ask Jesus to help you with this. Maybe today is the day you put your faith in Him. And I encourage you to do so. And for all of us, to take that step closer to God, so that we may shine in His glory. Let's take a moment to pray.